It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this first day of May 2023. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Madcap Mary Zany real-time extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. Well, if you do pop in right now, you'll be greeted by Theo and Squeaky and Irish Dave, early arrivers to the room, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Thanks for being there, Roger. I appreciate it. And, of course, I'm there, too. I don't do a lot of chatting during the show because I'm bouncing around between tabs, but I'm there. I'm there. And you're welcome there as well. And, of course, it's whatever time it is when you choose to listen to the podcast, wherever you listen to it, be it TuneIn or Podcast Republic or any of a number of Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. So wherever it is that you do listen to podcasts, please help us all out and like the podcast and subscribe to it and leave a comment, and, well, maybe some new folks will find the program along the way. It would be great. I love having new voices in the conversation. And over at the TuneIn app, if you would be so kind as to hit that red heart button if you haven't before, eventually we may actually find our way all the way to 1,000 unique listeners just on TuneIn alone. Okay? So, thanks for all of that. Hi, I'm Robin. It is, in fact, Moran Monday on the Horn, the first day. And by the way, I've got to share this with you. It is the first day of May, and traditionally, that was the pagan holiday, still is for that matter, I suppose, the pagan holiday of Beltane. And, well, Annette clued me into something I didn't know, and I don't know if the Horn's chief agronomist knows about this either. But in regard to cucumbers can be planted any time in May after danger of frost is passed. Folklore has it that to protect them from insects, they should be planted on May 1st, the old pagan holiday of Beltane. Well, we'll have to save this one for next year. The old pagan holiday of Beltane, before sunup. And for best results, they should be planted by a naked young man. That was brand new to me, but then again, I gave up being religious a long time ago. And I've got pagan leanings, but you know we've got an expert in paganism. You know who you are. Do you know about this naked young man planting the cucumbers before sunup on May the 1st thing? Because it was news to me. Around here, generally, if you've got a naked young man cavorting in your garden spot on May 1st, that's usually a call the sheriff's department kind of situation. Of course, the free range Rottweilers would probably pose a problem for any naked young man seeking to plant cucumbers here. Ralphs, no. I don't think Ferg qualifies as a young man anymore. I mean, he's all 27 and got a family and stuff. And Roger said, well, kiss that one off. I ain't young anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's in the eyes of the universe. Who knows? Darlene, I'm not sure. I'm not seeing any buffering, and I haven't had any messages about it. Keep losing your program every 2 seconds, Darlene in Connecticut says. Is it me? It's chronic. I'm not seeing an unstable IT connection on my end. Anybody else having connectivity problems this evening? If so, do please let me know. And maybe we'll have an answer for Darlene. Maybe refresh the browser or something. Have you tried unplugging your router for 20 seconds and plugging it? I'll let myself out. Nothing. Did you unplug the router? Yes, I unplugged the router. Plugged it back up, too. Oh, wait, you mean I have to plug it back up? Yeah. But it's May. Let's see, there's that song in Camelot, The Lusty Month of May. But it certainly came in like late March, early April. It's only 71 degrees here in the Fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, which is unusual for this time of year, because it's downright, it's been brisk all weekend long. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Micah. Micah says broadcast is fine here. Ralph says you're good, Robin. Thank you, both of you. Thank you so much. And I'm hoping things get better soon, but it doesn't look promising. I mean, my goodness gracious, the high temperature on Wednesday is 45. Today's high was 48. May is coming in meh. It's the month of meh. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And that means we say thank you to our first day of the month PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much to Joseph and Rusty. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Thank you all for being part of the reason this little internet effort exists. And, of course, the first broadcast of every month brings us Bruce and Shirley's Memorial Challenge, in which Chris in Germany and Ralphs and an anonymous friend combine to form a $300 pledge to double what comes in. And thank you, Max. Max, thank you so very much. Max took care of 2/3 of that. And so we only have $100 to raise this evening if we 10 people at $10 or whatever. And we will be off to a jolly good roaring fine start. So thank you to Max and thank you to Chris and thank you to Ralphs and thank you to our anonymous friend. As well, because I screwed up on Friday, I should have done the thank yous for our Patreon subscribers, but I got wrapped up in Friday on the front porch and didn't. So I need to address that now. So thank you to our Patreon subscribers. That means thank you, Theo, and thank you, Randy Radar. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you to Troy, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday, Troy. Thank you to Janice, and thank you to David, up in law school. Thank you. Thank you, Eve, and thank you, Nancy. Thank you to Bernadette there in Humboldt. Thank you. Michael of the Guffins, thank you so much. Thank you to Baltimore Broad. Thank you to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you so much to James and to Aaron and to Annette. Thank you to Joanne and Lori. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. And Kat was part of our Community Made Miracle that closed out April in good form. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, KW. Barb, thank you very much. Horse, thank you. Thank you to Robin. And thank you to Terrace. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you all so, so very much for, again, being a big part of the reason that this program exists. And thank you to Mark, Uncle Smokey. Thank you so much. We'll start in on the bill paying the treadmill again. Hopefully this week it'll be a little bit here and a little bit there, but I'm terribly excited about the prospect of getting a new water heater in. Getting the old one out is going to be a bear. Thank you, Theo. Ask a pagan. Hey, Robin, never heard about young naked fellers planting cucumbers before dawn on Beltane. I turned 71 years old yesterday. Happy birthday. And I've got arthritis, such pre-dawn frolics I will leave to others. Well, I hope you had the most wonderful birthday, Theo. I hope it was positively grand for you. And, yes, I think you are hereby exempted from cucumber frolics. The things you learn. But I don't even know that we're safely past the last freeze at this point. You know, things like a high of 45. Yeah. What's the low there? Yeah, the low's 35 on early morning Wednesday. Yeah, that could precipitate a freeze. Anyway, onward. So, we've gotten all of that shilly-shallying out of the way. Where to begin? Over the weekend, the gun stories, y'all, I know they're heartbreaking and almost impossible to talk about, but sometimes it's just even worse than what happened. And of course, when it happens in a place like Texas, by definition, it's going to get worse still. It's awful. Horrifying. So, somewhere in the greater Houston area, a dude was out shooting of his assault rifle in the dark and still of the night. You already know this. Why am I even talking about it? Francisco Oropeza, age 38, whom neighbors said minded his own business and didn't have any. Well, he was shooting his AR-15, and a next-door neighbor came over and said, "Listen, we got a baby trying to sleep over there. Can you just please not?" This was in San Jacinto County, Texas. And Francisco Oropeza took his AR-15 and went over and slaughtered five people, execution style, shooting them each in the head with his AR-15, and even shot a 9-year-old little boy. this all went down about, well, it would have been 12:31 a.m. Saturday morning, 11:31 p.m. in San Jacinto, Texas. Three minors in the household were found covered in blood. Two of the female victims, two of the women who were murdered, were found lying on top of the two surviving children. And meanwhile, Francisco Oropesa is at large, on the run. He managed to evade a countywide dragnet. The FBI says they have zero leads of where he might be. But there is an $80,000 reward for information leading to his capture. He's not shooting his freedom protector in the front yard. Some of the reward money was actually put up by Texas Governor Greg Asbot. Apparently, when the neighbors complained that they had a baby trying to sleep, Oropesa screamed, "I'll do what I want to in my front yard." Say their names: Sonia Argentina Guzman, age 25, Diana Velasquez Alvarado, 21, Julissa Molina Rivera, 31, Jose Jonathan Cesares, 18, and Daniel Enrique Lasso Guzman, 8. Five other people survived. And the survivor's guilt will be horrifying in hell. There's Ring camera footage that shows him entering the home. Oropesa had been in his home for 3 years, no one had ever had a problem with him. Wilson Garcia owns the home, and he said, "I don't have words to describe what happened. It's like we're alive but not living. What happened was really horrible. I lived through it because I was there. I managed to escape by miracle. Two people died protecting my 2.5-year-old daughter and my month-and-a-half-old son. They protected him with a pile of clothes so the killer wouldn't kill them, too." A woman in the house told him to run, told him to go out a window. "She told me to jump through the window because my kids are now without a mother and one of us needs to stay alive to take care of them. I'm trying to be strong for my kids. My daughter somewhat understands, and it's difficult when she starts to ask for her mom and her brother." But, you know, it's just a neighborhood in America. One of the neighbors, Veronica Pineda, said, "There's always shooting. There's always people calling the cops, and there's nothing being done." Well, ma'am, we can't do anything about it. Your neighbor has a right to shoot that gun and have that gun and do anything with that gun he wants to, because this is America. But I mentioned Greg Asbot a moment ago. God. Greg Asbot announced the reward, and he did so in the most vicious and hateful possible way. "I've announced a $50,000 reward for info on the criminal who killed five illegal immigrants Friday." They weren't even human beings to Greg Asbot. They were illegal immigrants. I thought we'd gotten past using that term. Well, decent people have gotten past using that term, because there's no such thing as an illegal human being. Human beings break laws, but it does not make them illegal human beings. It makes them law violators. And yes, language does mean things. But the rhetoric will be cranked up to 11 on this, because the man is on the run. And according to at least one published report that I've seen, Francisco Oropesa is a Mexican national and has a history of being deported from the United States four times. The maggots will, of course, wave the bloody shirt and ride the dead backs of these poor victims of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, oblivious to the question of how Francisco Oropesa got an AR-15. Not caring, because, well, that's freedom. As Thomas Jefferson said, the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Thomas Jefferson, of course, having been a rapist. You know, having sex with his enslaved, well, the enslaved half-sister of his dead wife, who is incapable, as a matter of the operation of law, of consent. But we will hear nothing but from the Fox News, TV, radio, Rwanda, and the like. We'll hear nothing.
He was an illegal immigrant, and they was illegal immigrants. See, they never should have left Honduras, and he should have been kept in Mexico.
And never asking for even a moment how someone who is here without documentation, has a previous history of deportations, how he could so easily get his hands on a war solely designed for, or a weapon solely designed for purposes of warfare. Beats me. But at least we've got Second Amendment freedom in the new 90 states of America. And if only somebody else had had a gun, maybe this wouldn't have had happened. That, of course, is pure bullshit. Okay. Darlene has apparently sorted things out. She said, it seems to be my connection. I think it is, because everybody else is saying it's cool. Now, thank you, Christopher. Christopher says, subject line, Mayday. Wishing you a thoughtful Mayday remembrance of the Haymarket riots in Chicago. Never forget, and power to the people. Amen. Amen. Riot is the language of the unheard. Yeah, this day has a lot of meaning for me. At least at one point in time, it was National Law Day. Well, that ship sailed in the last few years. Speaking of which, along with the guns, a gun store owner in Illinois has petitioned the Supreme, and the gun store owner and several different groups that find the right of pasty-faced, doughy old white men to own weapons of war to be a far more compelling legal issue than 9-year-olds getting to become 10-year-olds. Well, they filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court because lower courts refused to enjoin an Illinois law from going into effect. Basically, the state of Illinois has moved to ban the sale of assault weapons and large capacity magazines. And gun store owner Robert Beavis said,
there cannot be the slightest question that Illinois restrictions violate the Second Amendment right to possess firearms.
That being how he's a gun store owner, what he's really complaining about is his ability to sell these weapons of war to people who go and do things like blow away families. He must be so proud. I bet he is such a constitutional patriot. And they're arguing that the injunction should be in place because of the horrible, awful. You know, right after Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, the Bruin decision in New York was probably among the worst decisions of the court in recent memory. Because and the so-called reasoning involved in that decision says that if you want to restrict gun possession, there have to be some historical examples. And Beavis, in his emergency application, said,
lower courts ain't figured out the message the Supreme Court intended to send with Bruin. This court intended Bruin to be a course correction and a reminder to the lower courts that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right.
No. The only second-class citizens in this country, Mr. Beavis, are people who can become pregnant. And Mr. Beavis, no word on Mr. Butthead. Mr. Beavis has lost in every forum in which he has sued. U.S. District Judge Virginia Kendall in the Northern District of Illinois said the law is constitutionally sound. And she also found that assault weapons are a particularly dangerous weapon that could be banned. You know, just like fully automatic machine guns are banned for just over-the-counter sale. And the state of Illinois argued to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that assault weapons restricted by the act are not commonly used for self-defense. By design and in practice, they exist for offensive infliction of mass casualties. Uvalde has entered the room. So we'll have to see, but the thing is, both the Seventh Circuit and the district court level, they relied upon the idea that you only grant temporary injunctive relief if there is a finding that the person seeking the injunctive relief is likely to prevail at trial. So that means neither the district court nor the Seventh Circuit, which is not known for being a wild-eyed liberal circuit, thought much of Mr. Beavis's likelihood of prevailing. But then again, anything can happen when it gets to the Supreme Court and Harlan Crowe's pet justice and Neil, the real estate broker. Yeah. And just to carry on from there, well, we've got another crooked as a dog's hind leg Supreme Court story. A conservative, notoriously conservative law school, and you want to talk about gross, this just turns my stomach. Good thing I didn't have a snack. The law school at George Mason University in Virginia is called the Fat Dead Tony Scalia Law School. Actually, it's the Antonin Scalia Law School. And judicial chop shop, but it is famously conservative. And so they decided that it would be really cool if they could help out the right-wing Supreme Court justices by lightening the burden of their busy schedule, attacking the rights of half the population of the country and giving their corporate masters what they want. It's a hard job. And so, for instance, Well, the fat dead Tony Scalia School of Law and draw Spunky the Turtle on the Matchbook, a Judicial Institute, sent Neil Gorsuch to Padua, Italy, in 2018. They sent him to Iceland in 2021. They sent Brett Kavanaugh to teach in a little place in merry old England called Runnymede. That, of course, is the place where the barons forced King John to come and capitulate to them by signing a great charter that was an expression of English rights and forms the cornerstone of what is called Anglo-American jurisprudence. Mead, of course, is also a fermented beverage made from honey that can pack a heck of a wallop. For those of you who remember reading Beowulf, you might recall that Beowulf got shit-faced on mead and then went out and ripped the arm off of a monster. Grendel, then went after Grendel's dam. Yeah. So, mead is a kind of honey beer. And the fat, dead Tony Scalia Law School, I don't know if this is just the work of the goddess of irony or if somebody was having at least a small group. Hey, Let's send beer boof and Brett Kavanaugh to Runnymede. Huh? Yeah? Is that good? Right? Yeah? Yeah, I kill me sometimes. But there he was. And so, as the story from Business Insider that I'm looking at notes, teaching gigs are a permitted way for justices to earn extra money on top of their salaries of around $280,000. The poor babies. They only make $280,000 a year. Wait a minute. I can't do that in my head. Hold on. That's only $5,384 a week and 61 cents. We'll call it $5,385. Who can live on that? Per week. Yeah, so they can augment that by going and teaching. Although the fact of the matter is they don't do a lot of teaching, like when Neil Gorsuch went to Padua. He only had to teach in the mornings, and that left him the rest of the day for doing fun things like taking free road trips to Bologna and Firenze. The fat, dead Tony Law School flew him to Padua and home for $3,771. Pretty sure that wasn't economy class. And then, along the way, he also has spread the largesse around by bringing in friends and cronies to teach and guest lecture the class. And here we have just a little moment. Dear Justice Elena Kagan, like you, girl. The next time Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch invites you to come and guest lecture at a law school in Iceland, hon, say no. Because this just... Well, see, Elena Kagan went too. She must be crup. call me when some rich liberal donor purchases her, like Harlan Crow purchased Fappy, okay? And Scalia law gains influence, Irish Dave tells us. The Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University was originally known, oh, this is good. The goddess of irony has been at work. It was originally known as the Antonin Scalia School of Law. For those of you who'd like to play with initials and so on, that comes to ass law, Irish Dave notes, before the cowards changed it. Has slowly been adding conservative Supreme Court faculty like that. Ass law. Because, of course. That reminds me when the dim leader administration during the Reign of Error originally wanted to call his illegal invasion of Iraq Operation Iraqi Liberation. And somebody wised up and realized it spilled oil. Oops. You know what, Emilio, can't we, instead of Runnymede, can't we send Brett Kavanaugh to Ganymede instead?
Where's your stinking cowbell? Damn it.
Oh, well, we'll have to use the substitute. Stay. Good cowbell. Ganymede. That is a Jovian moon, is it not? Yeah. So, the grift rolls on. And Brett was taken to Runnymede, England, in 2019, and supplied a nice cottage in the countryside. Of course, when people like this talk about a nice cottage in the countryside, it's probably a fucking castle from the Norman invasion. Legal ethics expert Amanda Frost of the University of Virginia Law School said, some of this sounds like all expenses paid vacations with a little teaching thrown in. That's exactly what they are. What they did is the Supreme Court learned from the dodge that the pharmaceutical industry used to use, and probably still does, way back when we were having our conversation about gabapentin, and Dave number 11 wrote in to say that many people refer to it by its trade nickname, Morontin. The manufacturer of Morontin got called out because they were giving Caribbean vacations to doctors to come and lecture, and the doctors basically got a Caribbean vacation out of it, nice resorts, things like that, and never saw the inside of a lecture hall. They were, you know, maybe they had the lectures on the beach and everybody had one of those cute little drinks with an umbrella in it, or a piece of pineapple and a little plastic sword. I saw an opinion piece over at MSNBC earlier today. Micah. That shooting is the one where Greg Asbot was barking about illegal immigrants, the very one. But a little further follow-up to what we talked about last week, relative to Sammy Bad Breath going and whining to the Wall Street Journal and pissing and moaning about that leak poised us for assassination attempts. Suffer quietly, Snowflake, fascist. But writing at MSNBC, Jordan Rubin said, the fact of the matter is Sammy Bad Breath Alito doesn't understand the Supreme Court's already destroyed. In a cozy and delusional interview with the Wall Street Journal's opinion pages, the author of the Dobbs decision found a safe space. And that, among other things, and we didn't get to this part when we were talking about his whining before, but he pissed and moaned about court packing, in which Sammy Bad Breath told the Wall Street Journal, "To change the size of the court just because you want to change the results in cases that would destroy it, that would destroy it. You want to talk about our legitimacy? That would destroy the perception that we're anything other than a political body." Stupid fuck. Oh, boy. Sorry. But he is. He is. He doesn't even argue well. He reasons even worse. If you read the Dobbs decision, you know, when you're supporting reducing half the population to second-class citizens, and you resort to citing to witch trials, well, and he was oblivious to the fact that the court packing already took place. He's also historically oblivious to the fact that the Supreme Court has not always been 9 members. 9 is the number of the court, and the court number shall be 9. Thus shall it ever be. So let it be written. So let it be done. Yeah. And, of course, you know, we have the handmaid on the court because of court packing. The delegitimization of the court, as Jordan Rubin points out, was actually accomplished when they changed the makeup of the court from 9 to 8 by not giving, just the mere mention of his name makes everybody cringe, by not even giving a hearing or a vote to Merrick Garland, you know, because Barack Obama appointed him. And every good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican understands that Barack Obama was only 3/5 of a president. But the Supreme Court has no legitimacy. And it's a self-inflicted delegitimization. Andy the Angry Jew writing in on gabapentin. I've been taking it for about 15 years. I suffer from neuropathies, and this literally was a lifesaver. It additionally helped me with lower back pain. There's a little bit of a high when you first take it, but it subsides. I just would respectfully caution against ruling something out because it helped me, and realize it's not for everybody, but it definitely can be for some. Yeah, I've heard our dear friend Jude talked about the relief it provided patients who were in hospice when she worked there. I just watched it turn my father into a stumbling wreck of a human being. Dave talked about how he wound up bashing his knee out of it. And given the fact that when it was offered to me, I knew I was going to have to be driving all the way home from Birmingham to West Virginia, and I did not need that in my system. So I tried CBD-8 instead, and boy, did that work well. It really, really did. To continue... Oh, and thank you. So we got... thank you for that, Andy. We are... we've only got $90 to raise to be started for this first broadcast of May by meeting Bruce and Shirley's Memorial Challenge. Oh, let me see here. Yeah, they're in addition to the shooting in San Jacinto County, there is also (laughs) We said that in unison, says Micah. Jinx! Jinx. Jinx back. Besides the shooting, in the horrifying massacre in San Jacinto County, I didn't know, but there is a branch of Texas A&M University at Texarkana. So this past Saturday afternoon, there was a baseball game between Texas A&M Texarkana and the University of Houston Victoria campus. They played the game at a diamond called George Dobson Field at Spring Lake Park in Texarkana. And one of the players was down in the bullpen, you know, I don't know, maybe he was a reliever, maybe he was warming up, he was down in the bullpen, that's where the pitchers hang out. And along about 5:30, people began hearing, because it's Merca, gunfire in a nearby neighborhood over on a road, or Linda Street, L-Y-N-D-A, a neighborhood just west of Spring Lake Park. The Texarkana, Texas Police Department said they got a 911. We initially received several calls of shots fired on Linda Street, which is in a neighborhood just west of Spring Lake Park. Moments later, we received a 911 call that a baseball player at the park had collapsed and may have been shot. We were able to almost immediately determine that the two incidents were related. This is called deductive police work. So, as some officers were at the ball field rendering aid to the victim, other officers were on Linda Street looking for any evidence or witnesses. How about that? So, you don't even have to be near the gunfire. You can literally be sitting on the bench or warming up in the bullpen because you're a college baseball player and you're plugged. The Texarkana PD has issued felony warrants for 17-year-old Kamari Butler and 20-year-old DeMarco Banks as having been involved in the shooting on Linda Street. Butler and Banks fled the area. Butler is now wanted for aggravated assault. Banks is wanted for deadly conduct. The PD said, we made arrests of three other men who were at the home after detectives obtained a search warrant for the house and several vehicles at the scene. And so, Yankin Gia Smith, aged 49, got busted for unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. Two counts of possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine and ecstasy. 19-year-old Nathan Moore went down for tampering with evidence and possession of marijuana. And Marcel Beaver, age 19, went down for possession of marijuana. The baseball player is presently in stable condition and is expected to recover. The police, of course, tried to clear up some misconceptions. We've heard that some people are saying that the suspects were either at Spring Lake Park or driving through there when the victim was shot. That's simply not the case at all. The disturbance and shooting all happened on Linda Street and had nothing to do with the park itself or any event going on there. Tragically, one of the shots that Butler and Banks fired at each other on Linda Street traveled several hundred feet and struck the unsuspecting victim at the ballpark. Not entirely sure what information was meant to be conveyed there. Now, I read that and I'm thinking, hey, that means that nobody in America is safe as long as there's a bunch of damn gunplay going on. Because, well, see, these here, we arrested one for felon in possession of a firearm. We need people to understand that these were not lawful gun owners.
These were not these people were not lawful gun owners. They did not possess their firearms lawfully and legally. They weren't like the kid that shot up the 4th of July parade in up in Illinois, nor the kid who shot up the elementary school over there in Uvalde. Now, these were not lawful gun owners. It's not like the guy who shot up the Q nightclub there in Colorado Springs. He was a lawful gun owner, y'all. The rights of lawful gun owners. These miscreants, they weren't lawful gun owners like Audrey Hale, who shot up Covenant Presbyterian Christian School in Nashville. Y'all, the Second Amendment is here for everybody's protection, okay? The Second Amendment is what gives us all our other freedoms, except the freedom of a fourth grader to become a fifth grader. The Second Amendment don't protect that. Second Amendment is actually kind of a net negative where fourth graders become fifth graders is concerned in this country. We got to be careful, because it's about the right. It's not about the rights of the accused. It's about the rights of the lawful gun owners. And so this don't got nothing to do with lawful gun owners. This was a bunch of heathens, and we're gonna catch them, and we'll put them in tiny little cages where they can learn not to do unlawful shit. Okay. Freedom, because it's Texas, y'all. Damn it. Sure. Don't anybody say that them young men was lawful gun owners, because that'll make the head of the NRA cry. Right? Sure. Do we want to talk about the... E. Jean Carroll lawsuit? I mean, we can. Joe took a penis, Nitwit Nero's pettifogger, marched boldly into U.S. District Court in the Southern District of New York today in Manhattan, and told Judge Lewis Kaplan he had to declare a mistrial, and it was his, Judge Lewis Kaplan's, fault. Because he didn't let, he limited the scope of the cross-examination of E. Jean Carroll by Joe Took a Penis. And said that that Judge Kaplan had prevented Nitwit Nero, his client, from having a full... And this was before he was even done cross-examining E. Jean Carroll. But, see, Joe Took a Penis wanted the power to just call E. Jean Carroll a lying slut. Right? That's what he wants. Or to say that, and by the way, part of the defamation, part of the allegation in this case, there's a jury of 6 men and 3 women for this federal civil trial. And one of the defamatory statements was when Nitwit Nero used his sausage thumbs on his tiny hands to send out tweets saying that it was a lie, she's a lie, it's a hoax. And then said,
and besides, she's not my type.
Uh-oh. The internet's always there. Saw a photograph over the weekend from roughly the same time, the photos were contemporaneous. A picture of E. Jean Carroll and of Trump's former wife, Marla Maples. Now, unless Marla Maples, with whom Nitwit Nero was cheating on Ivana Trump and upon whom he would cheat with Melanoma, unless Marla wasn't his type either, those two women at the same time period bear a stunning resemblance. And who knows, maybe Marla had gotten disgusted with him by then. I don't know. 1995, 1996. But yeah. And yeah, thank you. Thank you, Andy. I just saw it landed. So we are at $90. That's wonderful. And I could have very little to have to yammer about for fundraising if we just knocked that out here. Maybe. Yeah, I know, Ralph. Guns have rights too, Robin. I know. Well, yes, they do. They got more rights than 9-year-old kids do. Now, this one has nothing to do with guns. This has to do with a sudden and apparently massive dust storm. You hear dust storm, you think Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas. No, Illinois. There are multiple people dead and dozens injured after a humongous pileup on I-55 in Montgomery County, Illinois. More than 30 people were transported to the hospital out of this thing. Somewhere between 40 and 60 passenger vehicles and at least 20 commercial vehicles were involved in the pileup. Two of the semis that were in the wreck caught fire. Officials are saying that dust storm happened as a result of high winds blowing dirt from farm fields across the highway. Karen Leach, who was caught up in the storm, said, "It actually looks like snow almost when I was sending my kids videos, and it just feels like the end of the world." And that stretch of I-55 is expected to be closed until, you know, sometime tomorrow afternoon. Not sure what to make of it. I mean, is this one of these things just happen moments? Well, I bet there will be a lot more talk about that than maybe the baseball player who was just hanging out in the bullpen and got plugged by a Freedom Protector round. Now, it was not a Freedom Protector round, Robin. Them's were illegal guns. That was not a lawful gun owner. Quit saying that. You see, there's a big difference between being shot by an unlawful gun owner and a lawful gun owner. Because lawful gun owners are merely protecting the Constitution. Now, get ready for an absolute onslaught of Hunter Biden news. Hunter Biden got hauled into a family law court in Arkansas today. Back about 5 years ago, so that'd be 2018, Hunter. Hunter had a fling thing with a former stripper. And he impregnated her. And she, knowing whom she had been impregnated by, kept the baby. And the baby is his 4-year-old daughter named Navy. Mama is London, that's spelled L-U-N-D-E-N, Roberts. She is suing him for money, more money, because Hunter Biden, according to information today, Hunter Biden pays London Roberts $20,000 per month in child support. At first, he didn't think he was the father of the child, but then there was a DNA test, and yes, he is. Hunter, buddy, rap that rascal. I don't want to hear anything about taking a shower in a raincoat. Whatever. Jesus. Damn. But the thing is, London Roberts has gotten into bed with, well, that's probably the wrong term. London Roberts has affiliated herself with some maggots. One of whom was a former aide to Nitwit Nero, who was bragging about how he would have access to Hunter Biden's financial records, and so that is exactly what this paternity suit is being used for. In court today, Hunter Biden's lawyer, Abby Lowell, disclosed the $20,000 a month that he's been paying to support the little girl, whom he has never even met. And upon finding out that the baby was his, he has since paid her mother $750,000. The hearing went on for 2 hours because London's pettifogger had squealed and shrieked and screamed and hollered and beat on the table that he should be held in contempt and put in the Yell County jail. It wasn't Yell County. I always go there when I think of Arkansas because of the lawyer J. Noble Daggett of Yell County, Arkansas. So the judge ruled that Hunter Biden is going to have to sit for a deposition sometime around the middle of June, and that there may be a possible trial in July. It was actually Independence County, Arkansas. Help me here. If you're a former stripper, which is a perfectly, dance is an artistic expression, whether clothed or not. And stripping is perfectly legal. But it's not that high dollar avocation. I would think that $750,000 would be a pretty good income. And it's a damn sight more than the vast majority of Americans are making. And I'm trying to be very careful here. But somehow or another, this all just sort of Arkansas, really? Arkansas? Yeah. And I'm sure his financial documents will be leaked to the maggots, and there will be much barking and grunting and hooting and shrieking and screaming. Because London wants to know about his finances, his investments, his art sales, and, as the Radar Online story puts it, other financial transactions. What about his laptop? And you know President Biden's worried about him. You never stop worrying about your kids. I just get tired of the tawdriness of it, don't you? Now I'm back to the Supreme Court for a second. Our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties today announced their willingness to take a case to consider the court's previous ruling in a case that has established significant precedents for how the court analyzes decisions by executive branch administrative agencies. The precedental case is Chevron versus Natural Resources Defense Council, the NRDC. The court ruled in Chevron that the court should have to give considerable analytic and determinative and interpretive weight to administrative agencies in making their decisions. And right-wingers have hated it for years because they want, say, toxic polluting industries to make all the decisions about what kind of regulations are and are not valid. Or maybe legislators who have been purchased by those polluting industries. I say polluting industries, it's across the board. Because what's at issue in the case that they agreed to take today, it's a group of New England herring fishermen. You know, little things generate huge disasters. The National Marine Fisheries Service by law places a regulatory observer on every herring fishing boat to make sure that the fishermen obey federal law about how much and what one can harvest from the sea, because there's a history of those laws being flouted. So Loper Bright Enterprises has sued the National Marine Fisheries Service, saying that it ain't fair that there's a statute that says, according to the National Marine Fisheries, that says that they, the fishing boats, have to pay for the monitor on board. And they do not like it, and all manner of right-wing organizations have lined up behind Loper Bright Enterprises. Now, Loper Bright Enterprises has lost at the district court level. They have lost again at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. But now they're going to get in front of our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. Isn't that sweet? So this fall, the court will reconsider Chevron and probably, with all likelihood, overturn Chevron and cast the entire administrative structure of the United States of America in doubt, which is, of course, a fetish object for the maggots and various other right-wingers. Remember how the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells said that his goal was the destruction of the administrative state? This is that. But it's also an instructive case on what actual Supreme Court ethics look like. Because Ketanji Brown Jackson has already recused herself from consideration of the case. She did that because she was actually on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals when this case went before them. She didn't decide the case. She wasn't in on any deliberations of the case, but she was present on that court and therefore, being ethical, she has recused herself. Now, this is a far cry from, say, oh, I don't know, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Faffy Thomas, whose owner, Harlan Crow, has been the money behind any number of lawsuits brought by the Club for Growth, of which he was a foundational member, or whatever they call them, a noble lumpkin. And Faffy never recused on any of those. So instead of being 6'3 or 5'4, it will probably be 6'2 or 5'3. With the 5'3, I'm assuming that maybe, just maybe, old Balls and Strikes might side with the minority. So there won't, you know, it's not like they're going to bring in a pinch justice or anything. Once the Supremes have overruled this case, regulated businesses will exist on an actual equal par with the agencies that regulate them and can basically tell the agencies what the hell to do. Chevron says that the agencies are due deference in their decision making. That will all go away. One individual said, you'd better believe they chose this case knowing full well that Jackson would recuse. They didn't want her powerful pen in dissent. Probably some truth in that. Another individual pointed out, I question the wisdom of agreeing to hear this case. For one, the question has reached the Supreme Court many times and been turned away. What changed? And if things have changed, why hear the one where Ketanji Brown Jackson will be recused? I'd like to know her views on this. Meanwhile, there are enemies of the idea of administrative regulation. Uh, for a very long time, Ann's boy Neil has been working out his vendetta against administrative agencies because his mama, Ann, was the first cabinet official ever to be held in contempt of Congress when she was heading up the Environmental Protection Agency and doing a piss-poor job of it. Fappy will be there on the decision, and he, too, despises the Chevron decision. This won't just affect the national marine fisheries. This has potential to affect the FDA, the EPA. Any administrative body that regulates any sort of industry. This is one of those let's just turn business loose and trust them to do the right thing, you know, for libertarian purposes. Something wicked this way comes. Oh, and whoever it was that called in on the stress line a minute ago, just so you know, I'm not being a bitch. I hung up because the Rodecaster is presently not connected, and so I am rebooting the stress line. Other legal stuff, yeah. We all know what the maggots in Montana did to Representative Zoe Zephyr. Effectively deleting her, even though she was legally, lawfully elected to sit in the Montana legislature, deleting her because they were butthurt because she actually called them out for the evil of their legislative activities. With the ACLU representing her, yay ACLU, she has sued the Speaker of the Montana House and the Montana Legislature generally for muzzling her. For saying that they have blood on their hands. Because they do. But that violated their sense of decorum. She said, I was targeted because I dared to give voice to the values and needs of transgender people like myself. The Attorney General will have to defend the case, and the Attorney General of Montana Stan is Austin Knudsen. And he said, this is performance litigation, political activism masquerading as a lawsuit. That was spokescreep Emily Flower speaking for Austin Knudsen. She said it would violate the separation of powers for the court to step in. But then again, the fact of the matter is, the Montana legislature chose to disenfranchise the voters of that district because they have no representation now. And so they're asking for emergency relief because the Montana legislature still hasn't finished. You know, they had plenty of time for attacking trans kids and grunting about bathrooms and whatnot, but they still haven't finished their damn budget for the next 2 years. Alex Raitt is the legal director of the Montana ACLU and said, every minute matters. Without Zephyr having her full rights and privileges restored, her 11,000 constituents are voiceless when it comes to a budget bill that impacts every corner of Montana. Even the corner that doesn't have any people in it. Never mind, that was just bitchy on my part. So in response to her speaking the truth to power, they turned her mic off. They canceled some meetings of the two committees that she serves on. They moved the bills they were to hear to other committees. But see, the Republicans of Montana thought that they had learned the lesson from the maggots in Tennessee. Because, well, Montana doesn't have any black people in its legislature, so they were in the clear there. Right? And they didn't expel her de facto, they expelled her constructively. She is nominally still a member of the state legislature. She just can't do any of the work that members of the legislatures, members of that they do. Damnedest funny how that works. She did manage to cast some ballots, cast some votes from a bench in the legislature's snack bar. They can't even brook dissent. And it's important to understand, this is fascist behavior. When you have found someone you hate, the first thing you do is silence them. And believe you me, where these maggots are concerned, they would far rather she be silenced forever, as opposed to merely administratively silenced. And the ACLU, among other things, has cited a Supreme Court case from 1966 when the Supreme Court told Georgia that no, they could not exclude a newly elected lawmaker, a young man by the name of Julian Bond, for endorsing criticism of the Vietnam War. It's almost like these people are oblivious to history. Or that they know and simply don't care because they think the court, the winds on the court blow in their favor. Good luck, Zoe. And I hope you get attorney's fees and costs. As to Chevron, Darlene in Connecticut says, this Supreme Court is the most destructive force in American society today, and they are essentially untouchable. Almost every decision they make is blowing apart the social and political fabric, and nothing is going to happen to stop them. I hate words like never and nothing, because they don't, well, they partake of a sense of futility and hopelessness. But I get your point, Darlene. The only thing that would even slow them down at this point, since the House will not act within its constitutional duties and even ask questions, is that if somehow or another Fappy's extravagant friendship with his owner, Harlan Crow, were to be examined by a member of the Department of Justice, say, oh, I don't know, Jack Smith, and an indictment were to follow. Then again, there's always mortality. Fappy is the oldest one on the court. Sammy Bad Breath is not far behind. So there are, Darlene, though they are remote, there are a couple of chances that this could get better. If it's the black and white photo, going back to Nitwit Nero and Marla and E. Jean Carroll, if it's the black and white photo of E. Jean and her news anchor husband at the time, then no, Trump hadn't gotten sick of Marla yet because wife number one, Ivana, is standing to his right and he didn't even notice her when questioned about the photo. And to think poor Ivana is now pushing up daisies under Trump's bed monster golf course, unknowingly concealing more hyper-top-secret documents from the NARA. And by the way, E. Jean is absolutely stunning in that photo. Not his type, my ass. I know. She is breathtakingly beautiful. And decidedly similar to Marla. His type. Then again, who would ever want to be Donald Trump's type? Ugh. As to the Supreme Court, Steve in New York says, I don't think they will completely overturn Chevron. They will narrow it to say the Congress must explicitly grant the authority to the agency. For instance, if a congressional mandate were for an agency to take all reasonable steps and make all reasonable rules to make sure that the concentration of any toxic substance is sufficiently low as to not affect the safety of such water for human consumption, and the agency were to make rules regarding the concentration of animal feces in the water, because it's organic and not toxic, the agency would not have the authority to do so. But toxic substances, but organic substances can be toxic. I mean, E. coli is not good for you, since you mentioned poop. And as to the Supreme Court, Steve says, frankly, it's time to start ignoring certain rulings of the court and the Andy Jackson mold. Yeah, but you need somebody with the bad attitude of that old enslaver and Indian genocidalist. I don't know if we have those. Funny how he threatened against nullification on South Carolina's part and then completely ignored the Supreme Court of the United States, essentially nullifying their decision. Some good news this May Day from Dave and the Blind. Christine is coming home Wednesday. She finishes her last class tomorrow and has told them she wants to go home and as soon as possible. Dave says, I have an option for the governor of Texas. If the people that were murdered were illegal people, then it's one step away from declaring anyone else illegal, like people in wheelchairs. But being hypocrites, you'll probably declare yourself on a rarely able-bodied and therefore exempted from the executions of others. Go to hell, Greg. Happy May Day, Dave and the Blind. Oh, they've got a list. Believe me, I told you, they've got a list. It starts with the little groups, gets a little bit bigger, gets a little bit bigger. And then they've got their white nationalist ethno-state for which they yearn. John in central PA, Hunter Biden. How are these maggots allowed to just abuse our court systems constantly? God, we have no fucking oversight in this country. Some of it's a matter of how you lawyer. Because Hunter Biden's not the only person who's going to be cross-examined. I would not want to be... What's her name? London, being cross-examined by Hunter's counsel. Because she may have to show what she's done with that $750,000. And, of course, I'm sure she's got high... But look, I hesitate to mention this because it was such a trashy and tawdry statement when James Carville made it back in the 90s. But this sure does feel like a $100 bill being dragged through a trailer park, doesn't it? Well, a $750,000 check. Because remember, once London is on the payroll, she'll stay on the payroll as long as she remains useful. And the discovery aspect of this, I mean, who complains about $750,000 over 4 years? Again, with the ciphering, I can do it in my head, but let's just make it easy and quick. So,
Four gazettas. Yeah, that's no.
It's $187,500 a year. I'm guessing, and again, the rankest form of speculation of which I am capable. I'm guessing you can, and Haley, if you're there, maybe you could serve as the Horn ad hoc Arkansas lifestyle consultant on this one. I'm guessing $187,500 a year is a pretty decent living in Independence County, Arkansas. I know here in West Virginia, $187,000 a year would buy you pretty much the finest double wide you could get. And so if, in fact, as I suspect, London, whatever her name is under the wing now of some maggot organization, they'll pay. The right wing pays. They'll make sure that if she gets dinged, that she's okay. Good God, Juanita Broderick is still out there running her yap. She's decided to go after trans people now. I saw a tweet from her the other day. Why, I do not know. But then again, Leon Scum apparently wants me to see a bunch of right-wing palaver, no matter how badly I don't want to. Micah asking about the dust storm in Illinois. New dust bowl? Imagine there was some erosion in there. And a trenchant observation from our pal Arnold in PA. Going back to the Chevron, the herring fisherman. If you take away the power of government and give it to corporations when corporations are owned by foreign nations, you have no control. Hooray, hooray, no one gives a fuck today. You're not wrong. Oh, now we're going to have a crisis. Utah has been one of those states that has spent all of its legislative time on shit that they shouldn't even be meddling in. And now, and remember, places like Utah and Alabama have the highest consumption rate of online porn per capita of any other state in the union. So now, Pornhub... Yeah, Pornhub, because these are the early years of the third decade of the 21st century, so what the... Pornhub, like Larry Flint of old, standing up for the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, Utahns, and we have Utah members of our community, thank you, you know who you are, I think of you often. I don't think you're Pornhub folks, frankly. You're not Republicans. But now, when your average good God-fearing Book of Mormon believing, Moroni-centered, evangelical, upstanding, whatever, Utahn, amosexuals, fundamentalists, logs on to go to Pornhub, because maybe they're feeling, those Republicans are feeling a little randy today. Well, when that happens, they're going to get a message when they go to Pornhub saying that if you live in Utah, you don't get to use Pornhub. Pornhub has completely disabled its site for anyone in Utah or anyone with a Utah-based IP address. This, then, is going to force the perverted maggots to learn all about virtual private networks, VPNs. A porn star named Cherie DeVille, who is a member of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee, tells the Utahan who signs in, "As you may know, your elected officials in Utah are requiring us to verify your age before allowing you access to our website. While safety and compliance are at the forefront of our mission, giving your ID card every time you want to visit an adult platform is not the most effective solution for protecting our users, and in fact will put children and your privacy at risk. In addition, mandating age verification without proper enforcement gives platforms the opportunity to choose whether or not to comply. As we've seen in other states, this just drives traffic to sites with far fewer safety measures in place. Very few sites are able to compare to the robust trust and safety measures we currently have in place. To protect children and user privacy, any legislation must be enforced against all platforms offering adult content. The safety of our users is one of our biggest concerns. We believe that the best and most effective solution for protecting children and adults alike is to identify users by their device and allow access to age-restricted materials and websites based on that identification. Until a real solution is offered, we have made the difficult decision to completely disable access to our website in Utah. Please contact your representatives before it's too late and demand device-based verification solutions that make the Internet safer while also respecting your privacy." So, well, no more trans porns for people dialing in from Utah IPs. I bet there are a bunch of Utahns who now have IP addresses in, well, I don't know, Trinidad and Tobago, Tuvalu, Mother Muscovy. Right. Jeremy asking, so has RFK Jr. decided to attack female trans athletes yet? Oh, I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure it is. After all, he's being controlled handled by the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, so that would not surprise me. Actually, that's a pretty good prediction, Jeremy. Brother Deacon Asa says, how much do you want to bet Pornhub invested in ExpressVPN before they made that move? It's like shooting goddamn fish in a goddamn barrel. Oh, no, we see you're from Utah. You have a shitty government. Please do something about your shitty government. You can't have a VPN. Oh, yeah, you're right, Ralphs. The Republican pervs will go through withdrawal. I wonder if these maggots have sense enough to... I probably shouldn't even say this out loud. I wonder if the maggots have sense enough to clear their browser history.
Yeah, but that means I got to put in all the passwords all over again at the same time.
So we are... Oh, wait, okay, no, Jeremy says. He came out against them this weekend. Sorry, editing on a phone that I can't see makes it rough. That is rough. Well, great. Thanks, Jeremy. And guess who else decided to unburden themselves of their feelings on the topic? Let me give you a hint. A full-grown man who made an entire career out of going on stage in leather gear and kabuki face makeup. Paul Stanley of Kiss has decided that he is uniquely qualified to declare what kind of care gender non-conforming and trans people can have, and when, and if. So far, nothing from Gene Simmons. And we are past the halfway mark of the program. We got $90 to raise. That's a nothing, kind of. It's not nothing, but it's a very small fundraising goal. Max has already done most of the heavy lifting on Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. There's just $90 left. Thank you. Thank you to Andy the Angry Jew for getting us started. Oh, God. Emilio, I wish you weren't so close to the truth. Didn't transgenderism happen when the government demanded polio vaccination? Wake up, sheeple, and vote for me, RFK. I wish that what you had just written was absolutely ridiculous, but, well, not now it isn't. And so let's go over to, the Buckeye State, where a group of folks hankering for a steak decided that the steaks they were hankering for were at the Texas Roadhouse. All the Logan's Roadhouse, Texas Roadhouse. And it was just gross. A bunch of people came in to the Texas Roadhouse, because Texas. They showed up at the Texas Roadhouse all decked out in their Confederate garb. Devil's diaper flags and the Confederate gray, Confederate flag gear. And a woman named Nani went to TikTok to talk about the situation. This is just, gross.
Confederate flag gear just tried to fucking come eat in our restaurant. Now, when I say a family decked out in Confederate flag gear, they literally had what could have been a two-year-old baby in a Confederate flag hoodie or whatever. And then under that, he has a Confederate flag onesie on. Like, it is never that deep, ever. And then other people that hoodies, hats, all this. And they're sitting in the middle of the restaurant, too, which is just a terrible coincidence. And to top it off, one of our black servers had to take them because their section buddy was a white girl, but she took the last party and got stiffed. I guess it wasn't good. So I guess he had to take it, had whatever. So the whole time he's there, he said they're not talking to him. They're not really looking at him. They're N-word this, N-word that. While he's there at the table, y'all. While he's there at the table. Like, they're not even trying to be quiet. They're not even trying to stop. And this server is a server that's always happy, loud, outgoing, making sure everybody's good. He'll be like, you need help? You need help? Like, and he'll literally go out of his way to help. And when he got quiet, like, we knew something was, like, wrong. So we're like, where's he at? Where's he at and all this? And this man, he ended up going outside crying, and this is a grown-ass man. Like, he ended up going outside crying.
A party full of people wearing Confederate flags.
Gets almost $500, right? Obviously, they're ignoring this man. Obviously, they're not going to give him a tip. We're a server now. You know, we live on our fucking tips. So, a couple of us, we got a couple servers around, and that, like, gave in and tipped in because a $500, $400 check, you know, he should have almost gotten $100 off of them, basically. And he still served them, he didn't throw a fit, he didn't do nothing and all that, which props to him, because I would have been at that table, I would have heard the N-word, and I would have... Truly props to him, because your girl, it would have been over. It would have been over. So obviously, all these other servers, the ghost people, they're like, what's going on? What's happening? And we're telling them, and they're livid. They're like, why are they even still here? Why are we even still serving? It's one thing to come in what you believe in, I guess, whatever you want to say. I know everybody's not going to see eye to eye on everything. Sure, cool. You want to wear that? Okay. I don't know why. But the fact that you're N-word dropping, all this, all that, they made their kids stop talking to this server, too. You know, the kids, they don't know shit. They were trying to talk. They were like, shut up. Stop talking to him. The baby was looking at my friend, and they started staring my friend down. Because she's black, of course. Because she's looking at the baby, and it's like, it's literally never that deep. And they were even rude to the managers, y'all, our white managers. They were even rude to them. Like, at that point, you're just dirty. You're just nasty.
So, it was in Westchester, Ohio, which is in the greater Cincinnati Metroplex, according to the source material I'm looking at. And the neo-Confederates said that they came from, come on, y'all know, Kentucky. And the man who had to deal with these human scum... is trying to decide whether he wants to quit the job or keep it and sacrifice his self-worth. The server is Arthur Mandy, and he gave an interview to the Daily Beast. And he said the rest of the party's walking in. The managers come and pull me aside and say, hey, if you have any issues with this table, let us know. But he's a pro. The things that servers in restaurants have to put up with are, in many instances, unspeakable. Arthur Mandy said, the rest of the party's walking in. The managers come and pull me aside and say, hey, if you have any issues with the label, let us know. He said, I'm doing my spiel or whatever things that we offer, just things that we have, what he may like. And he answers, well, I'll tell you what, boy, just get me a water with lemon. Boy. Boy. And they ran him. He spent 20 minutes just getting these fucking Confederates drinks. He explained, they think it's a game. Now they're drinking their drinks as fast as they can, and they're like, hey, boy, I need another one. Now, one of the ladies with the group was wearing an entire Confederate flag ensemble. Confederate flag sweatsuit, face and neck tattoos that were Confederate. The baby, as the lady noted, was wearing a Confederate flag onesie. Jesus. Yeah, but they don't want to be judged. Five-year-old was laughing, engaging with Arthur Mandy. Then his mom chastises him. She was like, you don't need to talk. He has a job to do. He needs to concentrate. And then another old white man said, they can only concentrate on one thing at a time. And they ran up a $400 tab. It was the one big night out they'd saved all year for that. You know, up cracker holler. Eventually, the manager stepped in and told every black member of the staff to stay away from the dining area till they left. And then they loitered in the park. I know a little bit about this loitering in the parking lot bullshit. They loitered in the parking lot hoping that Arthur Mandy would come out. Eventually, the manager went out and threatened to call the cops, and they left. The entire staff, white and black alike, were horrified. The managers really tried, but Arthur Mandy did say the white owner of the restaurant, Joe Palmer, didn't take it seriously. The minute he saw the Confederates come in, Joe Palmer, the owner, bugged the hell out. Didn't tell the staff they could kick them out or not serve them. Arthur Mandy said business should not come first. Money should not come first. And that's the perception I have of my boss. It was really hard for me to even think about going back to work because it's like knowing he doesn't care about me. And meanwhile, the corporate press team at Texas Roadhouse was as silent as a graven image. Of course, the Cincinnati area has long had a reputation as being racist AF. Because, of course. By the way, Ralph says, come on, people, don't make me sick Lassie on y'all. You know, Lassie's ill-tempered. Oh, and this, I thought this was kind of interesting. Maybe I've been too hard on the voter. No, I haven't been. The voters of the 13th Congressional District of Georgia. They still cast the votes. And the Rome, Georgia News Tribune reported about her first quarter FEC filings. Sporkfoot. Oh, by the way, that's real. And I originally saw the Sporkfoot photo, and immediately somebody, I forget who it was, oh, that was Photoshopped. No, it wasn't. There are other photos that are not Photoshopped. And I'm not shaming, but it's real. Really, really real. So, Marginal Trailer Queen showed $601,517 in total receipts, $1,593,578 in total disbursements. As of March 31st, Marginal Trailer Queen said she had $966,133 on hand. Now, what's curious is that there in the 13th Congressional District, only six of her own actual, no kidding, constituents contributed to her war chest. And of the $601,517, her constituents accounted for only $2,300 of it. The highest number of the highest money amount from donors came from people in Arizonistan. Then the other top four states were Texas, Georgia, Florida, and California. California? Yeah. And apparently it's a nice grift. because out of the monies, Marge paid herself back $400,000 for a campaign loan, and the campaign still owes her $550,000 more. So doing some quick ciphering, that's $50,000 short of $1 million. And Marge is also treading dangerously on her constituents. Marge has called for a national ban on porn sites. Because she gave the keynote address at the Putnam County Lincoln Reagan dinner and talked about how she had just found out there's porn sites. Bullshit. And said she had to become an expert on adult videos because of Hunter Biden. Because based on the laptop, Jesus, they had to go and watch porn. Sure you did, Marge. And that jibes with some braying and bleating coming from masculine man of masculinity, Josh Hall and ass, last seen running like a little, the little chicken shit he is from his own mob of domestic terrorists. And he was running his mouth weekend at the, Kenda, what did you call them? Hold on here. The Stronger Men's Conference was held at the Church of the Miraculous Toe, the James River Assembly of God in Ozark, Missouri, where they featured masculine manliness, Josh Hall and ass. This should be good.
Doesn't depend on your position. Your significance doesn't depend on a title. Your significance depends on the power of the Spirit of God working through you. That's where your significance comes from. Your significance doesn't depend on your position. Your significance doesn't depend on a title. Your significance depends on the power of the Spirit of...
Yeah, okay. Significance? Positions? Don't you love the music? This is a bunch of manly men of masculinity, manliness. At the Church of the Holy Toes, they got tanks running over cars. They got jets of fire. Dudes jumping on bicycles and motorcycles. At the Stronger Men Conference. Smoke, stunts, tanks, says Kenda. Unreal. Men touching each other, praying, holding their hands up while bent over on their knees. Oh, the manliness. Somebody get me a Thorazine dart, oh please. Never ends. Emilio, if they ban porn sites, how are we going to watch Marge's videos? But, yeah, oh, yeah, Marge and Josh Hall and ass, and, yeah, they gotta stop the porn! Marge, honey. I know you're going to find this gross because I do, but there are probably maggot men out there and pictures of you fully clothed are in their spank bank. Ew. I know. It's gross. I'm still blocking about 24 gross dudes a day on my Instagram account. It's yucky. Michael Steele on TV, the former chair of the Republican National Committee, tied into Marge for because of her attack on Randy Weingarten. She's not a biological mother. So does that mean that Mrs. Brady wasn't a good mom to Bobby and Peter and Greg? Go for it, Michael. You reformed Republican, you.
Stupid noun on the internet. Thank you, Elon. Is, you know, people saying, well, did you see the whole thing? I said, yeah, I watched it. I watched the whole thing. I watched the dehumanization process, the degradation. But when you got to that part where she went after Randy as a mom, you questioned her motherhood, regardless of how she came into it, because women and men come into parenting in a whole lot of different ways. It just struck such a raw nerve for me.
And just a reminder, the hearing was on free speech on college campuses. Draw me the bright line of relevance between those two dots, Randy Weingarten's status as a mom and free speech on college campuses.
As an adopted child, to think that a Marjorie Taylor Greene could look at my mother and say she's not a mother, well, you need to shut the you-know-what up and step back. Because motherhood is something that comes from the heart. It is something you do. It's an expression of love, discipline, all the things I said. And to me, for the party, my party, that sat here and railed for years about the value of the family, to watch this class.
Well, that was all bullshit then anyway.
And these classless words being thrown at someone because you disagree with them politically. I've debated, Randy. We've had our skirmishes. I've skirmished with teachers unions here in Maryland. But I would never look at her and say, well, you're unfit to have this discussion because you don't know what it is because you're not a mother. What the hell? So this is, again, the process that we're going to have to go through as we begin to sort of reimagine this country. And we have a choice. It's either looking at someone like Randy and her story, looking at me and my story, and saying that somehow we're less qualified, less capable, less valuable because of our circumstances, Nicole. It's not just a dangerous slope. It is an un-American slope, particularly given one that, we claim that we are so much for the family and the value of individuals and their and how they raise their families. It just struck a raw nerve for me.
Good. That's the right thing to say. But the bottom line is, all the Republican braying and bleating about family values was bullshit from jump. Because at the same time they're braying about family values, Larry Craig is displaying his wide stance in the basement men's room of the Minneapolis International Airport, long known for being a gay hookup site. Wide stance. And you know what? The other thing we can't ignore out of this is the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene is a product of all that prior Republican hypocrisy. There's not a moat between Michael Steele's Republican Party when Michael Steele was the head of it and the Republican Party of today. It has been continuous. And so I get a little worked when I see Republicans who are disgusted by current Republican behavior acting as though that current Republican behavior somehow was self-spawning in the last five, 6 years, seven. It damned well wasn't. Michael Steele was a proud Republican when every Republican on God's green earth, well, okay, the United States of America and some other countries, were grunting and squealing and hooting about the flag is falling over Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. It's the same Republican Party, and I think it is dangerous to think otherwise. Republican paragon of family values, three words, says Christopher. Hey, Christopher. Sweaty wrestler, that's his four. Sweaty wrestler, Denny Hastert. There's your, yeah. Or Senator Smiley from the state of Oklahoma, who's maybe still doing time for trying to pay a underage boy to have sex with him and using drugs as currency. He's not perfect. Just forgiven. Right? Yeah. So I'm Phil Robstard into the third hour of the program. We got $90 to go to meet Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. And in the meantime, let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Sorry to make you wait. I just wanted to get those stories out of the way.
You're not sorry, Robin. You always make mistakes. Blocking Robin.
Okay, what, okay, Jerry, whatever magic you do that makes you audible, do it.
All right. Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, I was just having this argument on, well, I was reading an argument on Reddit of wired headphones over Bluetooth headphones, and I got my vote to wired. I've seen some USB to headset jack. I think I'm going to get that next month. Get me a nice wired headset. I'm going through these earbuds, and they're great for consuming. They're not great for talking. I haven't found one yet.
Yeah, it seems like Bluetooth. Yeah, Bluetooth is a mess. At least well, in terms of calling audio into a radio show.
Except for Apple. Apple seems to have nailed that down. I wonder if there's expanded protocols at Apple. So Apple's Bluetooth sounds different than Android. Anyways, we're far into the nerd geek section, and that's not what you people called for or listening. I'm in the Florida Keys. So many observations. I'm in the time traveling Republicans, the 1990s Republicans, who still make Monica jokes. But it's funny. All the city councils are incredibly liberal down here. It's a real funny dichotomy. I was looking at some of the census. I did a census comparison. I mean, where's that? Wheeling, West Virginia? Is that close to you?
No, it's about as far away from you and me as you can be and still be in West Virginia. It's practically Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, I was just trying to find an average city in West Virginia. The median income in Monroe County, where I'm at right now, is $75,000. And the average property is $650,000. I am in one of those area or zip codes nationwide. It ain't that cheesy everywhere else. I'm a bit I've been eating entitled bread and sprinkle and been showering in entitled sunshine. I forgot what it's like to be a regular person. It only took a week. People holding the door open, white people too, holding the door open, saying hello and good morning, how you doing? Let me get you that coffee. It's weird.
Yeah, the keys are almost not America.
No, they're not. It's not.
It's a little know, like New Orleans.
No, no Trump flags. You walk into a bar, they remember your name. You don't even drink. You're the guy drinking soda. And they're fine. They're fine with that. Your team wins on TV. Everybody gives you, you know what? And when I get to Homestead, which is the first American city after you lose the keys, it all comes crashing back because there's a sprawling Walmart Metroplex sucking the life out of everybody there, and it's just terrible. And then you drive over the stretch, and boom. You were making, you know what? I was going to say groanings, but no. Dwayne fucking Wade left the state. Dwayne, I've almost met Dwayne Wade three times. That's a Dwayne
Wade
story.
I saw that story, and I didn't mention it. You know, I didn't want to catch grief for
that. Pissed. I'm mentioning it. All right, Jerry's going to mention the rainbow flag stuff. If Dwayne Wade, who we renamed the county of Miami-Dade to Wade County, because that's how much we think of Dwayne Wade. You understand what I'm saying? Dwayne Wade is a low treasure. Really, really is. I just for hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here.
Just for reflection, I almost took an embarrassing picture of Dwayne Wade, and 30 random strangers almost stabbed me in the face. They're going, "This is Dwayne Wade. That guy hit the internet. What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh my God, I should kick my own ass." You're right. This is Dwayne. I closed the camera, and they all just looked at me like I was doing the right thing, going on with their life. But yeah, so for him to go, I don't feel safe. Where Dwayne Wade literally cannot buy a drink in Miami. You know, oh, it's Dwayne Wade. You know, have whatever you want. So for him to go, I think that's the biggest fuck up that the census has made entirety, because our whole culture, if you can even use that word, is on winning sports teams and no taxes. That one cuts deeper than the Disney World thing. It's just something I was just thinking about.
And Dwayne, to be clear, just to do the backstory on this, Dwayne Wade announced, you want to do it? What Dwayne Wade said?
Dwayne Wade what?
Do the back.
I don't feel safe. My family. Well, you do it. You do it. Go on. Take it away.
Okay. Dwayne Wade said he and his family were leaving Florida because he and his family cannot feel safe and do not feel safe. And there's a reason for that, because Dwayne Wade has a trans daughter whom he loves. And they're having to leave Florida because, among other things, Monkey Up and his pet legislature want to craft a law that allows anyone in Florida to kidnap trans kids.
That's part of the reason why he's going. And you know, but here's the funny thing, or not so funny thing. They say never read the comment section, and I did. And people were saying horrible things. And you know what? When people say horrible things about you or you relate a story, I feel really. The older brother in me kicks in, even though you're slightly older than me, and I want to protect. But when these nasty maggots were crawling out from under the dumpster and going, "Bah, groomer, this," I wanted to pick up a stick. I wanted to pick up a stick. And keep in mind, I'm in the land of where the culture wars aren't working, because you just look around, oh, this is all about tax cuts here. Has nothing to do with the purple people or the rainbow people. This is all tax cuts in that third vacation house abutting the Atlantic Ocean. You can see that. I was talking to a guy today. Rich, this guy was rich as fuck. He had a four-wheel golf cart with a gas engine, just like Tucker. I think this was nicer than Tucker's.
You saw that, huh?
I was looking at it. Yeah, I had to wrap that in. Yeah, because that's where, you know, if I see him, I'll smack it for it, because he'll probably make it.
Yeah, because testicle toasting Tucky O'Rose Carlson took his wife out to dinner in a golf cart.
But that's where you do things like that here, because you can beat traffic because you can go off the main road, you know? Anyways, I was talking to this guy, goes, "You need insurance on that thing, don't you?" So I was looking at the tires. Big as a house, and this is a golf cart. So, yeah, I need insurance on everything. I'm like, anytime anybody answers that, I go, "This guy's a rich guy. He doesn't know the price of it." I go, "What's insurance on that cost for the year?" He's like, "Huh. Oh, I think I have it with my regular policy." I don't know.
Doesn't have to. Like, doesn't have to.
Yeah, when I go, I don't. But the point is, this is a confirmed redneck guy back wherever the hell he comes from. But here, there's a friendliness. And I can put all bad thoughts on hold for half a second. Like, for instance, that fucked up shooter. There'd never be a shooter here. Do you realize that? The 1% puts its flip-flop on. I never realized that. I'm not repping that or bragging. I've just seen this thing with a different mind for the first time. With all the glitter and the glitch shaved off. And for the first time here, I'm accepted because I was here 20 years ago and I wasn't a part of the crew. So I was kind of squeezed off the island. Very provincial here. I mean, shit, some towns are only 2,000 people deep. So word gets around. But this time I'm accepted. They know who I work for. You know, I'm a screaming liberal from up north, but that's okay. I'm harmless. I did call the whole Tucker firing thing, which makes me a wizard now. I mean, all we do, you were right about Tucker. How did you know? I was like, you're in a time machine, bro. You're not getting your news is unbunked late, but that doesn't even matter. Because by the time it gets here, it doesn't matter. I see how people get disconnected. I've had so many theories. I'm like, how did a motherfucker who is smoking meth and cleaning fish become a Republican? Because some Dark Lord Republican filled in their gaps, their numbers gaps, to keep it close. It really even shouldn't be as close as it is. Because you talk to these people and go, you know, climate change is real, right? They're like, yeah. And the head starts bobbing and go, oh, but the price of diesel. You understand what I'm saying, Robin?
I do. You know what I think?
Because the head.
I think South Florida needs to secede. You know, start about Tampa, St. Pete, cut a line, be done.
Here is, I was looking at the census thing. It's only 65% white people. I mean, granted, there's 25% at playing games. 25% Hispanic. So the whole racism diatribe, or why are you talking Spanish? I mean, you know what? You can smell people from here, for God's sake. Not to sound racist or anything. But you have to accept diversity. Who else is going to take care of your 5-acre resort? But the little people, you know? But that whole no Trump flag, I keep no Trump flag in business. No, none of that. And all of the DeSantis signs I saw 6 months ago come down. They were jumping up and down about DeSantis, but they lost the lead, unlike the mainland. Because Keith. Lots of time to think about stuff. They wake up at 5 in the morning to go chase the fish before they wake up. And they're in bed about 9 at night. And the sun sets and all the light's gone. I could get used to this, Robin. I got to tell you. I'm glad I don't drink.
Where are you staying when you're there?
I'm staying at the work compound, which a lot of people do. Just kind of hang around where they work. House is there too. And I got to go home tomorrow and pay rent and then come back. But I have a life. I haven't had a life in 2 years. I have people to talk to. I mean, all the things that happened to me also happened during COVID.
You know what? That's a sweet thing to be able to say. I have a life here.
I do. In a little bit, I'm expected places.
That's sweet, isn't it?
If I'm not there, people will notice and complain. As opposed to when Carolyn died, nobody noticed. Even my family, which I'm still working out that messy part right there. That's part of the reason why I'm here. That one of the negative pressure reasons I'm here. But it's a... I don't know. Families are messy. And I'm not even saying bring an Asian complex like being trans, gay, or autistic or anything like that. Just regular shit. But adulthood is messy. But I stared at the ocean for an hour today, Robin, and I looked at fish.
That's cleansing.
And I noticed they were swimming in a school of at least 1,000. I could just see maybe 20 until I connected them all. Oh, cleansing is not even a word. It's soul restoring.
So are you catching a bus down there, driving down there?
Yeah, there's two buses. They just shuttle people from to work down here, and then they get the mail out. They run for 4 o'clock, so it's a really efficient system. Don't tell anybody, but you can go the whole entire Keys thing for $5, which is the best bargain in America, just for the air conditioning alone. But I'm on that Hemingway shit or that Naked Lunch shit, minus the substances. I've never had this much clarity in my life. This is the clarity I expected when I graduated high school. That sounds weird to say out loud, but yeah, that's it. It's honest.
It sounds like you're living the dream.
I think so. I was here 20 years ago with my second wife, who, this is what triggered me. You brought up, You brought up Hunter Biden and him making a pit stop with a stripper and paying $20,000. Jesus Christ. That is why you don't let your penis pick your dates, because it's expensive. And he's on the time payment plan. He thought it was pay and go, but no, it wasn't.
Stop.
Oh, I have stuff to add to this. My second wife was a stripper for a brief time. And we were both cheating on each other down here. And she hated the Keys. And she blew it up. You can't live down here on one income, so I had to leave. So like 9 months ago, I was like, wait a second. I love the Keys. I'm going back. She hates the Keys. She's where she wants to be. She's in where I am. And they're riding horses and shit. She's living that cowboy life. And that was never me. I'm here. I love the water, I love the fish. But I'm on the fish's side. But, screaming liberal, welcome here. Even though they're all fucking Republicans, because, you know, the average house price is $650,000. Who do you think that's going to be? That took me a while. That took me 20 years to figure out. To modulate my declarations. Look, one of them's going, I can't, they're not the same Democrats. And I looked him in the eye and I go, I don't eat babies. And I haven't killed any post-birth baby yet. And he looked at me, and the stupidness turned to concrete. And he's like, wow. He goes, it's not this. I go, you're being lied to, bro. Come on. 3 days we're friends. We're here drinking, and you're giving me free coffee now. So obviously, you know, I go, and fuck, you're working. How are you a Republican? We don't talk to the other side like that anymore. Of course, it's a lot easier here. There's no Trump flag. I can't re-emphasize that enough. That whole Trump flag was like a declaration of war. I'm more fearful of a Trump flag than a Confederate flag. That's something. That's from a little kid from the Bronx, that's something to say. I remember the first time I saw a Confederate flag.
Really, aren't we talking about a distinction without a difference?
It's like Fennekin. Yeah, doing reference. Come on, tag me in. Trump flag's like the Fennekin.
I understand.
Then again, I saw a.
What do you think? I gotta ask.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the casting of Aaron Butler to play Fade Rautha?
I haven't seen that. I'm stuck on what's his face playing the Emperor. I'm like, you know what you make?
Christopher Walken? I'm all over that.
Just no accent. That whole random Bronx sound. Well, so you're telling me, Paul, you want Spike Productions I can't do that, Paul. You know. It's a horrible miscast, but it's fucking... It's Christopher Walken.
The funny thing is, Ferg does a great Christopher Walken, so I got to see if I can get him to... I don't know, repeat... I'm going to get him to repeat the litany against fear in Christopher Walken voice.
That's hysterical. Although, you know what? Looking back, Dune 1984 gets better with time. It really does.
I love that movie.
And the guy... I kind of hated it because of all the shortcuts they made.
Yeah, and it's way over the top, but it's a David Lynch film, okay?
You're right.
Blue Velvet in space.
You're right. And he just kind of... David Lynch took the Sharpie and went untranslatable, unfilmable, and just, I'm going to do my own thing. Both can exist. But Denis Villeneuve, his vision, I was just watching clips of Blade Runner again. His movies are sipping movies. They're not chugging movies. There's a lot going on. I may have to watch, and I've watched Dune 20, the new version, 20 times. There's just so much.
I will
in
go,
it.
Yeah, and when it comes out, I will watch the first part again. But I mean, I do. So I love the original. I love Max von Sydow as
Patrick Stewart was in it, and you find out he wasn't even supposed to be in it, and he was a great dirty Halleck. And I was referring to what's the emperor's name though?
Jose Ferrer.
He was great.
Yeah.
It was like he was like and the only Sean, one actually
and acting. Sean Young was just Helen Gaius Moham up and
down. She was perfect. She was she must have been hard to work with because nobody ever heard from her again.
Are you kidding?
She was in Dune 24. What was she in after Dune? After Blade Runner and Dune. Sean Young just appeared.
No. I said Sean Young. Yeah, Sean Phillips is the Reverend Mother. She was married to Peter O'Toole. So she paid her dues.
I forgot Sean Young was Shawnee. I really, but you know what? She was a better Shawnee than Zendaya. Zendaya, that's my only problem. I'm like, no, you don't look like you can stab people. You look like they're about to make a recording contract or something. You don't. I don't buy you. I buy the Chalamet guy who looked like he got out of the spa fall before I buy her. But that's my minor, contributes. And I still haven't watched The Last Generation, season 3, episode 10? I'm still saving that. I'm saving that like the last cold piece of ice cream. And I'm just playing with it in the bowl. I'm about 10 minutes in. But I haven't watched anything in the last week or so. I've fallen right the fuck to sleep. With no help whatsoever, you just look up, you see a million stars, you go, oh, that's pretty, look at it, you're asleep. It's amazing. I wish they could bottle that. And you only know that if you've been here or any kind of Caribbean island, that nighttime sleep. Oh, my God. Whew. And I used to say it was because of a lack of wires, because they had less, I don't know what it is. Sea breeze. Do you know what it is, Robin?
No.
8 hours sleep. There's like 40 hours sleep anywhere else. It's magnificent. And everyone literally does go to sleep at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
In Key West?
Not Key West. I'm not in Key West. I haven't made it to Key West yet. I keep endeavoring to go and end up talking to somebody and going to,
So you're back up toward Isla Mirada.
Yeah, I'm in Isla Mirada. I'm at the Keys, Mercantile, where everything closes at 6 o'clock. Now, Tavernier's like the Jersey. I'm out of the sticks.
Isla Mirada, Key West, Tavernier, Ramrod
Middle Key.
Middle Key, Ramrod okay. Key. Yeah.
It's a popular. Hey, Ramrod Key. Now, you can't not say again the Keys. Come on. There's a Ramrod Key and a Shark Key and a Low Key and a No Key. Those are all
habitable island, people make up people.
Even though it's Florida, I confess to being a smidgen jealous.
Now, the rest of Florida is really starting to annoy the shit out of me, and it's mostly DeSantis. But what's his end game here? Nobody wants this shit. His donors don't want that. What's going on with this guy?
Well, he's melting down.
Disney hasn't even put on their slapping glove yet. You know what I'm saying? They're still putting the glove on.
Slapping glove. They haven't even taped their hands and with a roll of nickels wrapped in them. No.
No, they haven't even started. They're like, we're gonna have to see Jerry, you for being a dick. We're still writing it.
Yeah, but Jerry, there's some truth. There's some reality that sort of lurks in here. Remember, when he beat Andrew Gillum, he only beat him by like a tenth of a percentage point or something ridiculous like that.
He beat him by a pool party, literally. He beat him by a pool party.
He beat him by a bunch of Nazi robocalls. Fact.
If that. I think it was a little Russian side action going on. I really do.
Because
Andrew Gillum started a thing, then he caught a charge. Do you remember how Andrew Gillum caught the charge?
By going to see Hamilton.
No, he caught a charge by, he wanted to open up one of the voting machines, actually. In fact, Andrew Gillum was genesis of this voting machine hullabaloo, because Republicans doing what they do, they take a good point or a good idea from what Democrats are doing. From the Democratic Party, if you have to do that, and they weaponized it.
Well, the point I was going to make, the point I was going to make is that even trying to get the nomination in Florida for his first term, he was struggling because he's not a likable character. He's an asshole on the stump. He's whiny. It comes across as a pissant. But the reason Nitwit Nero is so upset is that Nitwit Nero pushed him over the line by telling the maggots to support him.
He's literally everything every true Floridian hates about Florida. He's like an HOA manager. He really is. He has everything. That's the vibe. And the thing I have to jump up and down about is if you imagine Fox News is kind of like a Death Star, and them opening it, or a Borg cube, that'd be a better example. And they just open up their mind channel, and they just that link has been broken with Tucker Carlson. it's that same feeling that when like Rush died, I was in some pain then, but I even noticed the hold. They didn't have a talking point. And they're without talking points, and they're kind of chasing their tail the last 5 days. You notice that? The only thing they're consistent on is the trans stuff. They got nothing. This is interesting. And stop a second. Can we all talk about how badass Joe Biden is? Can we say that? He dropped some bombs. I played that over and over again because he was funny. He was dropping bombs. Belly laugh, not not Joe, that was cute. No, he made me laugh. Yeah. And I've always given Trump credit for being funny. Trump does some funny shit to where you try to, okay, that's right. Asshole, but still that's funny. But Joe Biden brought the pain. Where's that guy been? They should unleash that guy. They want to win. I mean, defeating fascism is important, as they say. I mean, they've been triangulating for the last 20 years, and here we are. Nobody has had the courage or the balls to say that's bullshit, and you're a vile, venal person for even saying that or thinking that. And to say that out loud, fuck you. That needed to be said about a lot of shit a long time ago, but no, we're triangulating. We, as liberals and progressives, play the both sides game.
Well, I loved it when Biden said at the nerd prom, if you find yourself delusional, you're either drunk or Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She was mad for that because there's no, she got nothing. He came for her. I was like, finally, Joe. But then you go, he had actual government shit to do. Joe Biden's a Scorpio. How we roll is we do what's important. We take care of what we got to take care of, but we take receipts. And he waited 2 years to drop bombs. He could barely get the Dominion line out. But he, I got to respect him for never taking the cheap shot. He didn't even take it then. Did his job. And was honorable to the profession. Something you don't hear about people doing anymore. The fucked up thing is, minus the Russian propaganda, Joe Biden is a keys type of president. And they hate him. They can't tell you why. As Roy Wood said, you need to hate Joe Biden, but you don't know why, and you have nobody to tell you.
It's true. I mean, it comes across as true to me. I'm trying to see if I can find some clips.
But no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fucking ex-president's rape trial. Jesus fucking Christ.
If you want to get
it out loud 10 times.
Yeah, I know. But if you want to get pissed, low moments in things calling themselves journalism, over at Chicken Noodle News, they have announced that, and this is the quote,
the event will feature the former president taking questions from New Hampshire Republicans and undeclared voters who plan to vote in the 2024 GOP presidential primary. They are pitching, Jerry, a presidential town hall with Nitwit Nero in New Hampshire.
Keith Olbermann got lit about it. He said if there was one consensus about 2024, it was that covering Trump the way they did in 2016, handing him live blocks of free airtime with no fact-checking possible, was irresponsible, and CNN's doing it. First, CNN, I think we can say Chris Licht's conversion of CNN into a political and journalistic whorehouse is complete. First, CNN systematically purged anyone on the network who was deemed too anti-Trump. That was Judd Legum, and now this.
I think Elmo taking over Twitter is going to be worse because Twitter was a good backbone, you know? And it's gone, and I think all the alternatives suck. They really do. Twitter's code base is ubiquitous, you know?
Yeah, but it's not coming back.
No, it's not. You know what? Somebody said something about liberals once, and it's absolutely fucking true. They're liberals with money, but they are too busy getting high and getting laid. They don't care. I mean, if you can run into, and I've run into liberals like this, if you can cross paths with them, very generous, very compassionate people, they're just caught up. And the rich evil fucks, that's their second job, man. 20-year-old think tanks are just coming through for them. And I think we've had a high court capture since fucking 2001. Since then. It was over then. The body's just twitching now.
Well, yeah, that's what I was talking about with regard to Michael Steele talking about how awful marginal trailer queen is, but she's a product of the same Republican Party that he was a member of. They're trying to create some sort of line of demarcation that is entirely imaginary.
Michael Steele, I particularly think he's a piece of shit because he tried. He tried his best stanza in chorus of I'm a good N-word and I'm an Uncle Tom over here and there are black Republicans too. And they sold that shit song and dance, and then here we were. And he's trying to get the stink off him. Fuck you, Michael Steele. You knew exactly who you were getting in bed with. You're part of the problem. And I say that to any person of color. Don't help them sell their shit. We know shit when we smell it. You're one of the people who back 500 years, I made this joke at the bar and everybody died laughing. 500 years ago, we're giving out free boat ride tickets. That's still a good joke. Hey, you want to go on a boat ride? Can you get a job too? Come on, laugh. It's a terrible joke, but it's a good joke.
I'm just looking at these. I wanted to play some of these clips of Biden killing it at the dinner.
The whole 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He literally mangled one joke. I was like, damn, Joe Biden could have been an actual legit stand-up comedian. He has this.
Well, look, he had writers, and the fact of the matter is, Democrats always have funnier writers because Republicans can't be funny.
He had timing, and that whole Jimmy Madison joke that killed.
Yeah, my good friend Jimmy Madison.
Yeah, that was great. And that's why Trump was so pissed off. He's like, oh, I haven't heard Sleepy Joe once. I mean, Sleepy Joe's been dying since the State of the Union, but I think I haven't, now it's Evil Joe. They're
putting on the glasses and being Dark Brandon?
Yeah, they're you know what? The whole Dark Brandon thing is awesome, too. Because you don't hear Let's Go Brandon anymore either. It's perfect fucking judo. It really is. You took your strength and you choked them with it. I put Obama in this stack, but Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, God rest his soul if he's not with us still. Blessing to his family, if he is. They never kicked or punched back. They kept expecting the assholes to play by the rules. And legitimately, that's why we're here right now. I mean, Democrats, liberals, progressives have an awesome self-delusional going. They're not really serious, are they?
Well, let's take a minute and check in with Dark Brandon, shall we?
Okay, there we go.
I've got him queued up.
All right.
Thank you, Tam, for that introduction, I think. Let me start on a serious note. Jill, Kamala, Doug, and I, and members of our administration, are here to send a message to the country and, quite frankly, to the world. The free press is a pillar, maybe the pillar, of a free society, not the enemy. Thomas Jefferson wrote, you all know this quote, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Were it left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate to prefer the latter." To Evan's parents, Ella, Mikhail, and sister Danielle, as I've told you in person, we, not just me, we all stand with you. Evan went to report in Russia to shed light on the darkness that you all escaped from years ago. Absolute courage. A handwritten letter from prison to his family, Evan wrote, quote, "I am not losing hope." In an interview, his mom, Ella, said, one of the American qualities that we absorbed is to be optimistic. That's where we stand right now. To the entire family, everyone in this hall stands with you. We're working every day to secure his release, looking at opportunities and tools to bring him home. We keep the faith. We also keep the faith for Austin, Austin Tice. His mom, Deborah, is here tonight. She knows from our several conversations, the conversations with me and my senior staff, we are not giving up. As I told you at this dinner last year, as I told you in the Oval Office, you raised an incredible son. When he was a kid, he was an Eagle Scout, a big brother, a born protector, a U.S. Marine, three tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Austin. Austin was a fearless journalist and a future lawyer. As a consequence of Austin showing the world the cost of war, he's been detained in Syria for nearly 11 years. It's simply wrong, it's outrageous, and we are not ceasing our effort to get him, find him, bring him home. Tonight, our message is this. Journalism is not a crime. Evan and Austin should be released immediately, along with every other American held hostage or wrongfully detained abroad. Paul Whelan, unjustly held in Russia for more than 4 years, whose brave sister I've met with and whose family has never quit fighting for Paul. And I promise you, neither will I and neither will this administration until we get him home. And there are other Americans being unjustly held in Iran, Venezuela, China, and elsewhere. Their stories may not make headlines or hashtags, but every day, their family looks at that empty chair at the kitchen table. Birthdays, anniversaries, holidays without them. The pain of living in limbo, in a sense, is almost worse than the pain of having lost a child and looking at an empty chair. The stress of not knowing, the sorrow of uncertainty. But I want them and their families to know, Jill and I understand, we see them. They are not forgotten. And I promise you, I am working like hell to get them home. As a nation,
skip a bit.
We'll never give up on last year. Dear Brittany, to see you back on the court, kid.
Oh, and by the way, man, Brittany Griner was there. And
wow.
She spoke up the other day and said said that she opposes trying to ban people from playing. And remember, Brittany Griner's 6'8", okay? And that skinny-ass little white girl, what's her name, Rayleigh Grimes or whatever, the woman who tied for fifth with Leah Thomas and is all butthurt about it, decided to come for Brittany. I don't think that's wise. But, yeah, it was nice to see Brittany Grimes there.
Remember your promise. I get to bring my granddaughter, my all-state girl, to see you, right? Because of our unrelenting efforts, threat of detention. These threats are high.
I mean, this is cool. I just want to get to the funny part.
Punishing individuals and security experts will backfire.
What happened?
I'm looking for the funny part. Oh, there it was.
My good friend. But still, it is.
12 minutes
in. This is not your father's press from 20 years ago. No, I'm serious. And you all know it better than I do. But still, it is absolutely consequential and essential. After all, I believe in the First Amendment. Not just because my good friend Jimmy Madison wrote it. a lot of ways, this dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away. Yeah, I know. I just announced my reelection campaign. Some of you scooped that I'd announced in the video. But really, you really all thought in your heart that I just blurted out, didn't you?
We tried.
And look, I get that age is completely a reasonable issue. It's in everybody's mind. And everyone, by everyone, I mean the New York Times. Headline, Biden's advanced age is a big issue. Trump's, however, is not. Sorry, that was a New York Times pit spot. I apologize. I love that guy. I should do an interview with him. You might think I don't like Rupert Murdoch. That's simply not true. How could I dislike a guy who makes me look like Harry Styles?
Ooh.
Call me old. I call it being seasoned. You say I'm ancient. I say I'm wise. You say I'm over the hill. Don Lemon would say that's a man in his prime. Folks, it's wonderful to be back here again, proving I haven't learned a damn thing. I want everyone to have fun tonight, but please be safe. If you find yourself disoriented or confused, it's either you're drunk or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Pam, thank you for hosting us. I love NPR. Because they whisper into the mic like I do. But not everybody loves NPR. Elon Musk tweeted that it should be defunded. Well, the best way to make NPR go away is for Elon Musk to buy it. And that's more true than you think, anyway. This dinner is one of the two great traditions in Washington. The other one is underestimating me and Kamala. Well, the truth is, we really have a record to be proud of. Vaccinated the nation, transformed the economy.
He said trans.
Earned historic legislative victories and midterm results. But the job isn't finished. I mean, it is finished for Tucker Carlson.
No!
What are you wooing about like that? Like, you think that's not reasonable? Give me a break. Just give me a break. Look, like I often say, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. We added 12 million jobs. That's just kind of the lawyers to defend the president. Had Ron DeSantis, I had a lot of Ron DeSantis jokes ready. But Mickey Mouse beat the hell out of me, got there first. Now look, can't be too rough on the guy. After his reelection as governor, he was asked if he had a mandate. He said, hell no, I'm straight. I'm straight.
Damn, that was funny.
That was good.
I'll give you time.
That was funny.
Through.
That was a good joke.
You got it? Look, y'all keep reporting my approval ratings is 42%. But what do you, I think you don't know this. Kevin McCarthy called me and asked me, Joe, what the hell's your secret? I'm not even kidding about that one.
Delivers a good straight line.
The speaker's trying to claim a big win this week. But the last time Republicans voted on something this, that hapless, it took 15 tries. That was good. Look, it's great the cable news networks are here tonight. MSNBC owned by NBC Universal. Fox News owned by Dominion Voting Systems. Last year, your favorite Fox News reporters were able to attend because they were fully vaccinated and boosted. This year, with that $787 million settlement, they're here because they couldn't say no to a free meal.
Oh.
And hell, I'd call Fox honest, fair, and truthful, but then I could be sued for defamation. It ain't nothing compared to what they do to me. Look, I hope the Fox News team finds this funny. My goal is to make them laugh as hard as CNN did when they read the settlement. But then again, CNN was like, wow, they actually have $787 million? Whoa. Folks, I go where people are, The Daily Show. Roy's a great guy. He once dubbed me the Jay-Z of Delaware. Don't let that look in your face, you did. Tonight he asked me to keep it short, even offered me $10 if I keep it under 10 minutes. That's a switch, a president being offered hush money.
Nice.
Look, I'm going to leave the jokes to the pros, but let me conclude on a genuinely serious note. Roy was born in Birmingham, Alabama. He graduated from a great HBCU, Florida A&M. He started in journalism following the footsteps of his father, Roy Wood Sr., who covered the Civil Rights Movement. During Black History Month this year, I hosted the screening of the movie Till. The story of Emmett Till and his mother is a story of a family's promise and loss in a nation's reckoning with hate, violence, and abuse of power. It's a story that was seared into our memory and our conscience, the nation's conscience, when Mrs. Till insisted that an open casket for her murdered and maimed 14-year-old son be the means by which he was transported. She said, "Let the people see what I've seen." The reason that Laura saw what she saw was because of another hero in this story, the black press. That's a fact. Jet Magazine, the Chicago Defender, and other black radio and newspapers were unflinching and brave in making sure America saw what she saw.
Wow.
And I mean it. Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells once said, and I quote, "The way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon the wrongs. Turn the light of truth upon the wrongs." That's the sacred view, in my view. That's the sacred charge of a free press, and I mean that. That's what someone we still miss so much, who you honored posthumously, stood for, Gwen Ifill. You know, she was among the very best we talked about at the table. She moderated my first debate for vice president. and was a trusted voice for millions of Americans. Gwen understood the louder the noise, the more it's on all of us to cut through the noise to the truth. The truth matters. I said last year at this dinner, a poison is running through our democracy and parts of the extreme press. Truth buried by lies, and lies living on as truth. Lies told for profit and power. Lies of conspiracy and malice, repeated over and over again, designed to generate a cycle of anger, hate, and even violence.
He's not wrong.
A cycle that emboldens history to be buried, books to be banned, children and families to be attacked by the state, and the rule of law and our rights and freedoms to be stripped away. And we're elected representatives of the people are expelled from state houses for standing for the people. I made clear that we know in our bones, and you know it too, our democracy remains at risk. But I've also made it clear, as I've seen throughout my life, it's within our power, each and every one of us, to preserve our democracy. We can, we must, we will. I'd like to make a toast, if I had a glass. My grandfather, Ambrose Finnegan, said, if you ever make a toast without liquor, you got a hole in your left hand. Y'all think I'm kidding, I'm not. I'm probably the only Irish you've ever met who's never had a drink in his life. Anyway, I'd like to make a toast, seriously. At this inflection point in history, let us commit that we'll be a nation that will embrace light over darkness, truth over lies, and finally, 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 restore the soul of the nation. Hear, hear. Ladies and gentlemen, can I give you that?
Yes.
I'm going to turn this over to Roy. Roy, the podium is yours. I'm going to be fine with your jokes, but I'm not sure about dark Brandon.
Love that.
It's all yours, pal.
That was great. That was great.
That's my president.
Yeah, exactly. And no, he's
my Corvette driving president who has a teacher for a wife. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm walking past this obviously cartel house. Did you see that video I sent? The
photo. Yeah,
the video,
that looks very nice. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, that was right at sunset. Yeah. And I was nope, can't be mad at Keith. You'd be mad at the rest of the state. But Martin, Palm Beach, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Monroe were a different planet. I ask anybody here, they'll tell you that. And I haven't, I've been triple vaccinated and I still got 4G, so I'm great.
Winning.
But it is what it is. Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for
going
through. My 4G's
pretty quick, though, I got to say.
Thanks for going through the clip with me. I enjoyed it. And I'm actually glad you reminded me because it was in the list.
That was classic horn. Because as you were, who's the president who built the White House? This is I'm throwing a rock at your historical window.
It was built during the administration of John Adams. Because by the time Jefferson
West White House.
The what?
Who built the military buildup? I think it was either Eisenhower or Roosevelt.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
All right. The first person to civilize the Keys was Henry Flagler. He literally tried to build a hurricane, build a railroad during a hurricane.
Yes.
Until we actually learned as a civilization, you can't do that.
Yeah, that was the great hurricane of 1929, wasn't it?
No, that's the Miami hurricane. We're talking about the labor hurricane of 1935.
Okay.
Which they don't have any wind record from. All they have is the water was here March. Now I'm standing at that spot where accident or not. And shit. The water was 25 feet some places above sea level. And the winds were 220 miles an hour. And if I'm honest, it feels like the first climate change storm. There were bad storms before, but climate change had been cranking about 60 years at that moment.
Well, if you think of it in those terms, climate change begins with the English Industrial Revolution, which then metastasizes to the North America. Primarily, and South America to an extent, but the mining, that's why when I'm talking to people in D.C., I refer to this as the cradle of climate change, because it is.
The crazy thing is, I was going somewhere with that. They just found out that octopi are sentient. I always figured that.
Oh, hell yes. Smartest animals in the sea. I won't eat them. But at any rate, I got to go because I'm over time. But it's been great talking to you, Jerry, and I hope you have a good time down. Get on down to Key West. Yeah. Get on down to Key West and have a blast. We finished, we only had $90 to go, and it didn't happen. So, maybe we'll try tomorrow. Thank you. And by the way, a couple of notes on the way out the door from Matt in San Francisco. I mentioned that, you know, if the Montana legislators could say what they wanted to say, they wouldn't silence Zoe Zephyr constructively. They would do it physically and terminally. And Matt responded, as a gay guy who came of age in the 80s, I can clearly say that the Republicans have been trying to kill us since old 666 ignored AIDS. From what I've read of history, religious conservatives have been horrible since time immemorial. True. I mean, it was the conservatives whose unwillingness to deal with reality forced Caesar to do what he did, and then went to war against him again, which eventually led to the crumbling of the Republic. And religious conservatives were hell on wheels in Europe, and there was a brief spate of decency, you know, minus all the obvious evils. And then the First Great Awakening came along and, well, a big chunk of the American experiment died of having a government that was not controlled by a bunch of religious maniacs. You're right. You're right, Matt. And as to Florida and DeClantis's first run, Clarence reminds us, subject line, voter suppression. Remember, Robin, DeSantis also got that win with voter suppression. The margin of victory for him was completed with not letting a whole lot of black and brown voters cast a vote. The ex-felons who had gotten the right to vote were suppressed with fees and fines that had to be paid. The ex-felon pool has a massive number of potential voters. It's true, Clarence. Thanks for the reminder. Because, you see, Republicans can't win on a level playing field. If everybody who has a right to vote gets to vote, for the most part, the Republican Party would dry up and blow away and would be actually what it is, a rump party of disgruntled, cranky, old white people. So there's that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Sorry I got to the acknowledgement program late. But thank you. And thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening. That means thank you to Andy the Angry Jew. Anybody wants to jump in and help knock out the rest of that $90, it'll be less that we have to deal with tomorrow. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger in Oregon and Sparky. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Asa, head on .live. Brother Deacon Asa offered something up earlier with regard to the story about the deplorables in that Ohio-Texas roadhouse. Did they at least bring along a white pillowcase in case the baby shit the Confederate onesie? For the baby or the onesie? To be fair to the restaurant owner, his staying quiet might not have been purely motivated by money. It's entirely possible that these thugs would have come back to empty a clip or two had they been kicked out of the restaurant. Or maybe he took an early exit, because if they did come back, he wanted to make sure he wasn't among the natural manure. But I get your point. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast, please, wherever you listen. We will grow this little community. It always grows. It always changes. And the conversation is always delightful. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and proud union shop. Stay safe. Get your booster. If you are immunocompromised or have comorbidities or 65 or older, check and see if you can get another one. Wear that mask when you're among the maggots. They are a filthy lot. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance. And if you're out and about and you see a bunch of folks clad in Confederate gear coming towards you, well, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.